We're in the book of Acts, and I'm supposed to be doing the second chapter. But if you remember, last week Bob was here, and he spoke about the decision the 11 apostles had to make. And all of us, some time or the other, have to make decision. And he reminded us that as we make these decisions, do we put God in them or do you left God out of them? And so we leave that up to you to decide. This morning, we're going to do chapter 2. But before we do, I want to just go over a couple of verses here in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and reading from verse 4. And it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. But there is a key verse, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so, as we go into the second chapter of Acts, we're going to see a couple of things that were promised here in chapter 1. The Lord Jesus has just ascended into heaven, and the disciples looked and saw him go up, disappear in the clouds. But before he left, he told them that he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. You see, while he was here with them, they didn't need a comforter because he was here. He did all the miracles and he saved soul. They see that, and most of the Jews didn't believe him. And yet he told them, the disciples, to wait here for the whole day of the Holy Spirit because it would come upon them. So the outline is in chapter 2, we would look at the first one. The first one is the Holy Spirit outpouring, and that you will see that from chapter 2, 1 through 4. And number 2, the effect of his presence, that is the Holy Spirit present, and that is 5 through 13. And 3, Peter's sermon, that is 2:14 through 36. And 4, the result of his witness, 2:37 to 41, and 5, the believing company in fellowship, and that is 42 to 47. You know, when we are promised something, sometime we don't believe, or we kind of walk away and said it's not happening. But here was the believers, or the apostles, and they walk with God, they see what he did, and he told them, stay here until the Holy Spirit appear unto you. So let's look at verse 2 and starting from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Let's just stop there for a couple minutes. The first verse we said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and this was what the Lord Jesus promised to them, they were to wait. And here they were. They were in one place, and they were all together. This morning, all of us, we could be somewhere else, but we are believers. And we have this privilege, the earlier meeting, to remember him and to show forth his death till he come. But not only that, we are saved to do something. We are saved to continue showing forth the good work. There is lots of people who don't know about God. Even starting in our families, you know. And so we got to show that we are not only saved and put aside, but we are saved for service. And this, as they were there, these dear ones, because they were waiting on the Holy Spirit to come, because God promised them. And here, in verse 3, there appeared to them devout tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But maybe I should go back to verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. And so right away here we see the Holy Spirit in sound. Here the Holy Spirit is talk of as wind. And here was the sound of the wind. And not only that, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And not only that, it also, it said, divided tongues as of fire. Not a fire, but as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. So here, each individual, the fire, or appear as fire, came upon each of them. That's another sign of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, God has left, and so he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort them, to give them the new work to begin, to send them across these different places. You hear we read about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And this was what happening here. The Holy Spirit was beginning to fill these dear believers. And it did. And it did. Because watch what happened. In verse 4 it said, and when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under the heavens. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these all speaking of Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of our own language in which we're born, in which we were born? So here they were thinking or saying, they hear the apostles speaking in different tongues. You have Jebi here. He speak, what is it, Jebi? Right? And so that's a different language. If Jebi get up this morning and was speaking in his original tongue, only if you're here as an interpreter, you could understand him. But if you're not, you couldn't understand. But here, the 12 were speaking different language, and there was people there from different country, all around the world, and they knew what they were saying, and they were praising God and giving him thanks for what he has done for us. We got to move on, because we just want to touch a little of this. And so we give God thanks again for this privilege, as the Apostle Paul told the crowd that, you know, because they couldn't understand them because they were Galileans. And so he said, no, we're not drunk. Peter, get up and said, no, we are not drunk. We are speaking what God tell us to do. And so after he began to talk to them or to preach to them, look at verse 36. I'm just going to take a little time and read the heart of the text, that he did, Peter, as he speak, you know, he couldn't hold his voice in. And verse 36 said, therefore, and he was still speaking to the crowd, Jewish people, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And you remember, as I read in the first chapter, it said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. So this is what this is saying here. You know, he was speaking to them, to your children. If you believe what I'm saying, that God came to save sinners, and you, Jews, killed him, and he went back into heaven. But if you believe, now you have this assured salvation, that here he's coming back again to give life, to continue to tell people that you can be saved. And some of them believe, you know, it's like a campaign. But this was Peter, he threw forth the gospel, the good news. People who didn't know this, or maybe they hear it, but they didn't believe it. But this time it was so real, because you see, they sent him to do the work. He did it, and some of them still didn't believe it. And so here he's gone back, and now he leave his apostles to do the work. Herald forth the good news. That's what we are here for, right? We're saved to serve. And so the apostles continued the ministry there, to preach, to teach, to tell others the good news, that this dear Jesus, whom you refused, is both Lord and God. And he's coming back again, dear ones. He's coming back again. He's coming back. What was the result of his preaching? Huh? What was the result? Go down to verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Yes, 3,000 souls. Huh. We hear of Billy Graham concert services, and we know that in the Ocean Grove Auditorium, his grandson is doing that this weekend too. But not this amount. Yes. Maybe we think that what we are doing sometime, you know, it's not worth it, because maybe you don't see the result. But dear one, all we can do is speak. God does the saving. You give the word, it's not my word, dear ones. You go home this afternoon, you read it for yourself. I'm hungry here to present it. And if you believe it, then the good news in your heart, you can tell somebody else. And that person may receive it and tell somebody else. That's how the fire begin to spark. Yes, there was 3,000 souls saved that day. Isn't that a miracle? God saving people from their sins, from destruction, from hell, from the punishment which is to come. And this morning we have this assurance that one day, soon and very soon, he's coming back for us. Yes, we can, you know, I think of even yesterday, a lot of people are laughing because, you know, we don't want to call no name, but the gospel is preached, and all the Lord said, or God said, is no one knows the hour or the time, but you should be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. And then what followed after these dear ones received the gospel? We're going to see it here in verse 42. And they continue steadfast in the apostle doctrines and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And I just want to take a little time here and do a couple of, go over these couple of things here. Here's four things that's recommended here. First of all, in verse 42, and the first of all was the apostle doctrine, and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And the apostle doctrine, first of all, what did they had? They didn't have the Bible like us. They had the Old Testament, and they listened to what Paul or Peter said to them. And after that, what happened? They got saved. But they know the doctrine. And so they decided to follow in the doctrine. The words that he spoke was first orally, because they didn't have the Bible like us. And so they believe him. And then today, this is the apostle doctrine right here in the New Testament. We can study it, we can read it, and we can see what it's all about. You can either believe it or you can don't believe it. You know, it's up to you. But don't care. One of these days, we have to give an account of what happened in our life. The second one is fellowship. Fellowship. This morning we had fellowship. Fellowship to be with people of God. Share things in common. A community of interest with other Christians. Separated to God from the world. Fellowship. Sharing what we have. The interest we have is the same. The words we speak is the same. And don't care where you go this morning or this afternoon. If you're a child of God and you go visiting somebody, relative, and they're Christian, they're going to share those things. Mark you, they'll share family thoughts and all that sort of thing. But after, in the conversation, there got to be some sort of fellowship of the things of God. Yes, these early Christians had that. And where did they have it? Right there in their community. They weren't afraid to serve. They were saved for service. Fellowship. And then the breaking of bread. That one is the big one. The breaking of bread. Yes, the new church began to do this. And the apostle doctrine, they stick to it. The breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, the worship service. There is to remember him, a testament of his death. You know, the breaking of bread is instituted in three of the Gospels. Matthew 26, 26 to 29, Mark 14, 22 to 25, and Luke 22, 14. And all of these three Gospels, we see the breaking of bread was instituted in them. And then it's also mentioned again in the New Testament, First Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. And you tell me, four times, if this didn't mean something to the Lord, the one who died for us, four times in these Gospels, and then in First Corinthians it's mentioned. Shouldn't we be following these things? Shouldn't we be doing these things? Yes, because it's the apostle doctrines. And these are some of the principles of the early church. They didn't shun away from it. They show it. They did it. They were gathering in homes, because at that time the temple was for maybe the Jews, you know. And if Paul or Peter was traveling through, they would stop and speak there. But early church began right fellowship in the homes. Yes, dear ones, the breaking of bread is essential. And we gather here this morning in the quietness of this building, and we come together. Breaking of bread is for those who are called out, those who are saved. Breaking of bread is separate from the world. You know, you have that time where you come and you speak to the Father. You just let Him have His own way in your life. You have all week to think on these things. And here we come in the morning. We give Him the due thanks that He deserves. What He has done for us? No. We think of the death, the burial, and it's coming back again. And lastly, we want to look at the prayers, the purpose, the practice, and it's always in them because what? These dear ones, early church Christians, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They express complete satisfaction through the worship of the Savior, the guidance presented to Him through their holiness. They think of it. This one who gave Him His life for us. We know nothing of the cost that it cost the Father. I don't think none of us would give our sons up to be killed on a cross. But this dear God that we serve, know that He would raise Him again from the dead. And He did that, dear ones. He did that. Because that's why we are here this morning. We serve a risen Savior. And throughout your travels again, as I would say, and your quiet time coming to church, one of the things that really stuck out there is the prayer meeting. We go from place to place. I go back and visit my mom in Jamaica, and you go to the prayer meeting and it's nobody's there. But these dear ones, the early Christian, if you go through the book of Acts and look through it, the prayer meeting was vibrant because the Holy Spirit was moving. They see things happen immediately, a little after, or things that they wouldn't believe. Yes. The Holy Spirit was on fire, or the people was on fire for God. They didn't just save and sit down. They were moving. They want to herald forth the good news. They want to tell it to each one. And that's what they did. That's what they did. And so, when we think of the early Christians, or the early church, I would say, one, they were committed. They continue to do what the Lord had saved them to do. They continue to spread the good news. And number two, they were community-minded. You know, we right here, we know that we are heralding forth the good news. But did you know that right around us here in Belmore, there is like three other churches. Right three blocks over, there is the United Fellowship. Further out, there is the St. Rose. And then further out south there, you would have a Grace Tabernacle. So in all these four churches, they are serving their local community. And that's what we have the responsibility to do this morning, dear ones, to serve the guests, the friends, the relatives, and the families who come into this meeting this morning. If you leave this meeting this morning and you said, well, he wasn't a great speaker like Billy Graham, but then that's okay. Did he read the Bible? Yes, he did. Did he tell you to go home and read it for yourself? Yes, he did. So, did you believe what you read? No, that is up to you. I can't answer that. But the good news is, dear one, God died for us. Or he sent his son to die for us. And one day, he's coming back to judge us. What did you do for me? Did you read my word? Did you understand my word? Did you accept my word? The answer is still in your court. And lastly, they continue steadfastly. That's the new church. That's the church we are in today. These are the things that the apostle doctrine shows. They were steadfast. And if that time come when someone asks you something in the Bible and you cannot give an account at the same time, don't tell them you don't know. Go home and search it for yourself and find it. And said, I'll get back to you. Give me a day or two. And if even you have that person number, you call them and you tell them. Dear ones, people are dying. People are sick. People are disgusted. People are doing all kind of thing. But the good news, God loved each one of us. He sent his son to die for us. And don't care this morning what your troubles are, what your fears are, that soon and very soon, I'm not giving a date, but the trumpet will sound once and for all, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So if you are here this morning, and this is the first time you're hearing the good news, God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And he expects you to accept him or reject him. But one day, you're going to be in his court. And you have to answer, what did you do with my son? I just write a little quote here, and it said, in Acts, you will find life and action. We see the Holy Spirit at work, forming the church, empowering the church, and expanding the church in its outreach. The new fellowship, where we see Jews, Gentiles, as one in Christ. There is no Jews and there is no Gentiles. We are all one in Christ. So this morning, if you're here and you haven't made that decision, you don't have to do it publicly. You can do it whenever you reach home. But the good thing is that you must do it one time. And you can do it now because the time is available. You never know what's going to happen when you leave this place. God loves you. He dies for you. He continues to help us through our sorrows, through our struggle, through our trouble, and all that we go through. Remember, dear ones, he said he will never leave us or forsake us. And so, as we leave here this morning, you go home and you read this chapter for yourself. It's a very long chapter. I had to cut through it. But the apostle doctrine, they continue steadfast in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Oh, Father and our God, we thank thee again for this day. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your word. And because of your word, Father, this morning, those of us who know you as Lord and Savior has given our life to thee to serve others. Help us then this morning to show forth the good news, to show forth love in all that we do and say. Father, we just humbly bow at your feet and tell you thanks for the privilege that you give us. Bless each and every one here this morning. And cause, O Father, that if there's one going through something that is so desperate, that they might seek your face and they might give you the all in their life. Bless our every hearts here. Guide us home. And just bless the rest of this day as we seek to serve you, Father. We give thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.